Blog Talk Radio.
I have a feeling. I'm not hearing a loop. Congratulations, Lee. Should we celebrate now or no?
I didn't bring any champagne, anything along those lines, but I think it's celebratory worthy.
Welcome to the first Matthew Aaron show that has started on time.
Oh, God.
Can you believe it?
What an auspicious moment.
I don't even know what to do. We don't have streamers or poppers or anything. We weren't prepared.
Yeah.
We didn't think it was going to happen,
honestly.
I got
some poppers in my trunk.
But let's be honest. Between you and me, since Katie Rose hasn't arrived yet, by the way, I'm Matthew Aaron with...
Lee Capreas. Hello.
Lee Capreas, the Greek. Anyways, by the by, were you prepared to start on time at all?
No. This totally threw me.
No, we would have had streamers. We would have had fireworks, sparklers, at least something.
I don't know what to talk about.
I'm actually kind of stuck.
What do we do with this time?
I only had 10 minutes planned before the interview because I figured we had 20 of dead air.
Right. Now we're going to
So I guess we're going to have to now play more theme music. Here's Matlock.
Okay.
Lee, can I tell you about a real Matlock episode that I remember from when I was really young? I've seen every Matlock.
Do please.
There was one, swear to God, where Andy Griffith got arrested, Matlock got arrested for jaywalking in California.
Yeah.
Because, like, he didn't know about California law, and he's out there. It was like a sweeps up, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, all like, I'm going to California. And Andy Griffith gets to California, and he jaywalks, and they arrest him, and it's like a $150 fine, and he will just not have it.
He'll
and
have no part of it.
He defends himself in court and everything. Great episode.
Yeah. Well, they really do that in California. They give tickets for jaywalking.
It's now $300 and some. I forget how much when I was out there last time.
That is ridiculous. You'd think they'd done something really terrible, like smoke indoors.
California is the craziest place. They have a lot of laws I love. And some laws are just, and you know how they have that strange laws website where like, you know, you can't get a blowjob in Minnesota or whatever the deal is. Well, L.A., you would think the jaywalking thing's a strange law.
No.
But they actually uphold it.
Yeah.
Like the blowjob thing, who gets arrested for that in Minnesota? Nobody.
The enforcement is another matter.
They enforce the jaywalking law in L.A. And you know what? It's probably kept people off the streets.
Right. But, I mean, scenes where people jaywalk in movies... You can't set them in California, you know, dramatically, you know, wait, Wanda, or, you know, it's dramatic, cars rushing by. You can't do it.
So, Lee, did I tell you the big news?
Please tell me.
You may want to know where I was Sunday morning.
Uh-huh.
Did you want to know? It doesn't seem like you really did, actually.
I'm going to say it was Mass.
No, I got a clue for you.
Uh-huh.
Team 6, bitches.
Oh, wow.
I'm not really supposed to talk about it.
Very hush-hush.
Look, I'm going to risk getting thrown into jail for this or whatever they do to people.
Don't, yeah.
Obviously, being a Naval SEAL.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Naval SEAL? Is that what they call me?
Yeah.
Obviously,
it's
being
a good thing pronouncing the term is not one of the requirements.
Look, that's not what we learn over there.
Okay.
I'll get into what we learn.
Okay.
But, you know, they asked me many, many years ago when I was supposed to keep it on the DL, and this is why I'm so busy all the time. People call me. I'm like, can't answer. Navy SEAL. You know, and so what happened was, you may have heard about this.
Uh-huh. Well, now you voluntarily joined them. Because if you,
that's what I hear.
They recruited you.
Yeah, they recruited me. It wasn't the other way around, really.
Okay. I didn't know they did that, but all right.
Listen, Lee. Whose story is this here? You don't know they did that.
Okay.
You don't know. There's a lot of things you don't know about the secret spies in our country, my friend.
Do they take people that are 5'5 and weigh 205?
I do not weigh 205.
Okay.
Right. I am under 200.
Okay.
Barely. But, and 5'5", first of all, in my Navy boots, I'm a good 5'7 and a half.
Okay.
So anyways, you know, they call me up. They're like, Matt, we're in Pakistan. Where are you? I'm like, oh, I'll fly right over. So I'm like an hour later, I'm there. And, you know, we're at this house. And I'm like, what is going on? Are we just chilling out? Or are we going to watch the big game? Or, you know, what's happening? And they're like, wait, you're not in your gear or anything. You're wearing sunglasses and Hawaiian shirt and khakis. And I'm like, well, yeah, Sunday fair, you know. And they're all looking at me like, the mission. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, you did not blow the mission, dude.
No, but I'm like the laid-back, crazy Navy SEAL guy.
Yeah.
I'm the one you see in the movies, like the Tom Cruise type, you know, where he showed up wearing his Hawaiian shirt and sunglasses.
Those are the most dangerous ones.
Well, yeah, right. And they always give me the best lines at these things, so it's great.
What's your code name? Flounder?
Code Flounder. No. My code name is actually Captain Hero Guy. And so I show up, and they're like, are we doing this thing or what? And I'm like, yeah, we're doing it. So I walk in, and I'm of course, in the lead here. And they're like, no, Matt, we need you in the back, because in case we all go down, we know you're going to come through in the end.
Okay.
So it's like main event, right?
Okay.
Main event, put them in the back. Understandable. Totally get it. We're going to kill this guy, Usama bin Laden,
yeah.
I don't know.
Close enough.
I don't know his fucking name.
They have nine names.
Well, whatever. You know what? I only get, like, those brown folders that say confidential on them. I open them up.
Uh-huh.
I don't really read the names. I see the face, and I'm like, you're mine, motherfucker. You are mine.
Uh-huh.
So I remember this guy's face. He's got a big, like, white towel on his head and what have you. Okay. So anyways, we're in here. And these guys, I got to say, this was an easy job. They're all playing PlayStation 3, right?
Uh-huh.
And Usama, I don't know what his
Sam
name
I
is.
Am.
Sam, whatever. He's playing this SOCOM, whatever. You know, he's getting real into it. He's shooting and shit.
It's a good game.
I don't know. I never played it. Uh-huh. But let me tell you what Captain Wonderful did. Is that my name? That was my name, right?
Captain Hero Guy.
Captain Hero Guy is what I go by in the SEALs.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, have you heard of our name Team 6?
Yeah, I have.
That's because there's six of us. I wanted to share that.
Okay,
so anyways. Basically, you know, I'm not the guy that shot Osama because I was in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But all those women that were protecting him, I killed them all.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was really good. I did a really good job. They're all like, no, we're kidnappers. We're kidnappies. We're kidnapping.
Are you saying women
I've never fallen for that before.
Are you saying women like in Ridicule, or were they actual women?
I don't know. It was weird. No, they were actual women. Like, they were all dressed up and, you know.
What a terrible entourage.
No. Oh, God. Yeah, the place reeked of curry.
Okay.
It was just,
I don't think, but that, all right. So they're worldly terrorists.
So, Lee, go ahead and interview me. I can answer any question you have about Team 6 Naval SEAL thing.
And the operation. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't get back to my commander.
Well,
by the way, I only answer to one guy, and that's it is President Obama.
President, okay. You know, it's not that
I'm supposed to answer Hillary Clinton, too, but I don't answer to no broads.
Right.
Continue.
You maybe can't blame me for being a tad incredulous, but
incredulous.
Incredible?
I'm incredible?
Yeah. I was having you pictured as, you know, like how I would imagine it would have got done, you know, how you came to defeat Osama bin Laden,
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
Usama, as you call him.
Yeah.
You'd be like, you know, well, I got this guy in L.A., and you know what I mean? Bin Laden sent him a few specs and a pilot he's trying to get off the ground. And so we just, you know, he just tweeted me the return address.
That's
how we found the cave.
No,
or the
that's
palace.
Funny you brought that up, Lee, because – Funny enough, you must have done your homework. You know some people involved in the team, how many? Six?
Six of the Naval SEALs, yeah.
I didn't rap this info out to Lee.
No.
But it's true. Osama wanted to do this sitcom, family sitcom, called Osama's Law.
Right.
And it was about him and his family. It was it's for CBS.
Yeah,
Les
right.
Moonves was head over heels for it.
Yeah.
And
he comes into the children's bedroom, and he's like, you know what? I'm declaring a fatwa on this dirty room.
But it was interesting. I get a phone call from someone secret at CBS. I don't want to say it was Julie Chen, but it may have been Julie Chen.
Okay.
Les Moonves' wife. And okay. She's like, Matt, there's something wrong about this. I did the news for a few years, and I kind of know who this Usama guy is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Julie, tell me more. And she's like, I want to send you to Pakistan. You need to get this guy. I got the address and everything. And then we talked about the talk for a little bit, and, it was a good time. Sharon Osbourne had some interesting stories, and it was a good time. So anyways,
okay,
continue, though. Now you know how we found the address.
I have a few more questions concerning logic. When you were training, how did you survive Hell Week?
By the way, can I share one little tidbit for you?
Sure, go ahead.
This is Ed Osama. He was a kidder.
You chatted with him before you killed him?
Well, no. I heard about this through CBS. You know who was going to play him in the sitcom?
Who's that?
And he picked out who was going to play him. Martin Lawrence.
Oh, that's so obvious.
Yeah, it was real good. I'm like, casting.
That's, yeah. put a fat suit and drag makeup on that man, and he can do anybody.
But go ahead. What was your question?
How did you survive Hell Week? It's grueling. It's the most grueling training program for the most elite team of fighting force that we have in America. Put you in a sauna for 24 hours a day. You lock arms with other soldiers and lay in the shoreline, and the waves come up, and your head is facing the sea. You have to withstand that. You have to have weights tied to you and swim with them.
Right, right.
How did you deal with all that?
That sounds brutal. I got a doctor's note. I got out of all of that. I brought in my doctor's note. I said, look, I'm not feeling too well the next 7 weeks.
Okay.
I need to sit this one out.
Well,
and they're like,
out of running the mile in gym class because I had asthma, but this is a.
Well,
I've never
it's
heard
like
of this.
When you hire James Bond, you don't expect him to go to spy school all over again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when you get a pro, you got a pro.
Okay. So you're telling me you didn't subject yourself to the harsh physical regimen that the SEALs are accustomed to. Let me read you what it is, because it sounds like you didn't have to do it.
Please.
They have to swim 500 yards in 12 and a half minutes. You could just say whether you did this or not.
Did it.
All right. 42 push-ups in under 2 minutes.
2 minutes, that's laughable. 20 seconds, continue.
Okay. 50 sit-ups in under 2 minutes. Equally laughable, if not more so.
Oh, why are they giving you all this time? I blow through that shit.
6 pull-ups, that is chin-ups, chin over the bar, in 10 seconds.
No, that's it. That was easy.
Okay.
Continue.
And you have to run a mile and a half in long boots and your combat gear and your pants and all that. A quick mile and a half. And it has to be in under 11 minutes.
I got excluded from that because I wear cowboy boots.
Uh-huh.
And they're not, you don't want to get the heels dirty and... they're more for actual ass-kicking, like Chuck Norris. And
your senior officers, your SOs, did not have any trouble with you going into combat with combat.
It's
with,
crazy. Other
with
than
cowboy
Captain,
boots.
Other than Captain Hero Guy, my other nickname on the team was Walker Texas Ranger, because I had the kick-ass boots, and I was always doing spin kicks and karate shit.
Okay.
I don't want to get too technical.
Well,
so.
You had quite a weekend, and you managed to go fly all the way out there and make it back in time for the show.
I actually saw Fast Five that night with Leonard Cannata.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe just in time. They're like president's announcement. I'm like, yeah, I should be making that.
All right. Now, did you talk with Bin Laden before you killed him and put his body out in the ocean?
No. Actually, I was not in the room with that. What happened was, so I'm not sure he's even dead.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Show me some gosh damn proof.
Yeah.
No, but really what happened was we have this tactic where they roll me up like a cannonball, and then they push me down like stairs,
uh-huh.
and I take out all the women and children that way. Like I just roll them over.
Okay, like
a bowling ball. What usually happens is I say cannonball, and then they just roll me down. It's real good.
You say it in Farsi, in Arab. You speak the language.
First of all, excuse you, I did not fart. Second of all, no, I do not speak the who needs to learn that dying language?
Okay. Fartsy. Desert language.
Fartsy.
Uh-huh.
It's entertaining.
One more.
Yeah, please, because producer Caesar looks like he's going to have a heart attack. Continue.
Yeah, they encourage the soldiers to have a Zen attitude.
Oh, and you know me better than anyone, huh?
Right. I mean, they're not going to tell them which religion to have, but they do want the SEALs to meditate and be in touch with themselves and nature in order
to
become
always touching
more
myself.
Efficient killing machines. Did you meditate at all? Did you do it, or did you just get it all out during Fast Five?
First of all, you don't look like Buddha because you don't meditate, you know?
Okay.
Like, this body is for meditation purposes.
Okay.
And it's a meditating during Fast Five as well, like, because you have calmed down from that rush.
What was
and
more
that
intense?
Hour plane ride is brutal,
what
let
was,
me tell you.
What was more intense, the mission or Fast Five?
Well, I mean, we're talking two different kinds of intents here. We're talking about Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel, and I don't think we could ever top that in America, really.
Okay,
that's more of a worldwide strong suit right there. That is the world coming together and making greatness. Right, this was America coming together and doing something great. Not to be underwhelmed, but let's not get hyperbolic about it.
Well, that is fascinating. I don't have any more questions.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad I could share.
I thank you for doing your duty. You're an American hero.
I'm glad you believe me. You're the first one. I mean, not that I told everybody, but some people just don't even fucking believe me.
Yeah.
And that hurts.
Okay.
It hurts a little. So, Lee, let's catch up a little. What are you up to?
My weekend, I was sick. I stayed home. I did go out once and see the movie The Conspirators. So that was about it. I didn't kill any threats to America.
Can't all be winners.
I know. I didn't.
It's Team 6, not Team 7.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Team 6, not Team Sucks.
Yeah, right. Okay. Exactly.
You know, it was a pretty pedestrian week that I
can
had.
Can I tell you what I heard today in my class? One of the younger dudes in there, he's got to be like 20, tops, 19, 20.
Mm-hmm.
He said the correspondence dinner, and I don't think he's ever seen one before, so he thought Obama just put on the first ever comedy correspondence dinner.
No, that they're always.
Right. Well, I'm getting to that. So he thought the correspondence dinner was cooler than Osama dying. Your thoughts?
Well, it was.
And then I'll let you know what I thought.
It definitely, I think, had more flavor, you know. Or as some of our hipper brethren would put it, flavor.
You mean flavor like?
Oh, feta cheese. That's what I taste.
Yes.
Yes.
Precisely. It had flavor in tune with Jeff Goldblum's love of a certain type of cheese.
Yeah, but if you're going to compare those two things, first of all, you got to be slightly ill.
Yeah.
Second of all, how can you ever compare a correspondence dinner to killing the number one person on the FBI's most wanted list?
Yeah. That's... He was more thrilled about that.
Yeah, he was.
Wow.
He was. I think it's because he thought it was funny and he enjoyed it. And all these hipster kids nowadays, you know, they're into a lot of stuff that other people aren't into.
So
like,
was he just
NBC.
Like, so they killed Obama. He's like, yeah, you know who killed? Seth Meyers.
Oh, God. Oh, all right.
He did, by the way. No, he did. I saw a lot of people laughing in that large room.
I wasn't one.
Well, that's the hardest audience. There's a Lewis Black bit where he's talking about how that's the hardest audience.
I did not laugh. But, you know, I did laugh at Obama. I thought Obama was very funny.
He was. And,
I thought he was funnier than Seth Meyers.
I thought that was – I've seen the other dinners where he was.
You're going to say Seth Meyers was better than Norm MacDonald.
Well, I love Norm MacDonald.
And at Clinton's dinner, you thought Seth was better
than
Norm?
I don't know about that.
Let's
so
not
much.
Get crazy.
But I do think that Obama was funnier in previous years.
Well, let me tell you this. I don't watch SNL.
Does
Seth Meyers always stutter? Or is it just at the dinner he was nervous? Or what do you think?
I got to think he was nervous because that, again, is the toughest room to play. Those people are the most...
So he does not stutter...
up their ass.
But, like, that's not him on SNL?
I don't think so. But I don't watch a lot of SNL. Actually, I watch zero SNL now.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in like 10 years.
Ever since SNL kind of became about having a really good celebrity impersonation and a set that looks like the original TV show over like good sketch writing.
Yeah, it's been 10 years since I've seen it.
Right. I don't watch it.
Well, you know, Katie Rose is not here right now. I don't know where she is. Well, I do know where she is, actually. As people may or may not know, I think I've talked about it on the show before, she is the assistant for the executive assistant, so that's like right hand, for Billy Deck, who runs Rocket Ranch, and he owns three restaurants and a bar, and he's a big deal downtown,
right,
in Chicago. And she's at Chicago Tonight right now, which is being filmed, and she should be on her way, I hope, because she's probably got funnier stories than we do.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know what was funny? Yesterday, I went to Cigars and Stripes, and I did a comedy set there.
Yeah, how was that, by the way? That was your show.
It went over really well, but now I found out my parents decided they're going to come to Saturday's show, and I don't like performing for anyone I know. Like, this for me is like going to therapy, and you don't have your family sit in therapy with you.
No, especially since I know what you mean. My parents have been to see me a few times.
And how'd you feel about that?
I didn't mind it. I've got really like ultra supportive
parents. I do too. I got everyone says, well, my parents are the greatest, whatever. So of course I'm going to say that.
I wish they would have supported me a little less.
They're very supportive.
Because then I might have been a little. I might have been something.
I just the thing for me is it makes you have to turn up your game another notch.
Right.
And then it makes you go through your act and go, I can't say this in front of my mother.
Well, a good portion of my act is how I don't like the way I am and I'm a failure.
Well, I did a lot of cultural comedy yesterday, we'll call it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I can't say all this in front of my mom.
Right.
Like, now Saturday, I'm kind of like,
I got a couple four-letter words in my act that I...
That I don't mind. My mom's heard me say daily
That one four-letter word that starts with a C.
Oh, I know, I never use that. Here's the thing. I'm not against that word.
It's a hilarious
word.
There's
only two words on the planet. I'm sorry. Two words on the planet I'm against, and it's the N-word and the R-word. And Katie Rose got me to see the light on the R word. I'm not a big fan of it anymore. But, but the C word, I just don't use it.
Right.
I don't think there's always a lot of proper context to use it in.
So you have to use the word a lot to have a feeling about it. Were you using the N word and the R word so much before you stopped?
I think there was a time when I was younger. When you first learn those words, they're hip and cool to say around your other friends.
Right.
And, like, I remember the first stand-up I ever saw was Eddie Murphy, and I was, like, 13. And my best friend at the time, Chris, and I watched Delirious with his mother.
Uh-huh. Oh, great.
And I learned the F word. And for a week, he'd come over to my house every day, and every other word out of my mouth, even if it made no fucking sense, was fuck.
Yeah.
Every other word, because I never heard it before, never said it before, and now I think I'm little white Eddie Murphy sitting in the basement playing Castlevania going, fuck, this is fuck, fuck, great, fuck,
well,
fuck, great,
I,
fuck,
fuck.
It made no sense.
I started saying the other F word from that, the six. I love how we're talking about these words like no one knows what they are. Like we're trying to, like kids might be listening. Faggot, he said that on the show.
Yeah. Eddie was big on that word
for a long time. Well, that was part of the huge backlash against feminism and homosexuality
in
the 80s.
Well, the big thing, though, was in the 80s was AIDS. Yeah,
right.
And that word was very bad.
But that word was what I started saying because of Delirious. Not F, not fuck as much.
No. Well, I think those words have a cachet at first, and then they kind of wear thin.
But when something is retarded.
Oh, you shouldn't say that word. Katie Rose is going to get very upset.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, I have spent time now with slow learners, challenged people, and they're the sweetest people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I just feel bad. And Katie Rose didn't say this to me. This is something I thought. I just feel bad, and this show's turning into an NBC, you know, well,
isn't
the more
loving.
You know. Do.
This is a very positive show we've done.
No, but look, here's the deal. I don't like that word now because they cannot respond back. They cannot fire back at me with a word just as powerful or just as bad, really. And I don't think – some of them don't know how, and some of them don't know what you're saying to them, and they're kind of defenseless.
Right. Well, I don't
think – it's one thing if you want to have the balls to walk up to some big black dude and say the N-word.
Yeah.
It's one thing because they can – and they will respond. Some of these people don't understand and can't respond, and it's really sad, and you shouldn't take advantage of it. That's my thing. No big whoop. But
well,
moving on.
Right.
I don't want to stand this. It's, like,
right.
depressing. And
okay.
Oprah's going to want to have me on next week now, and,
right.
you know, that would be awful. Caesar would love it, but that would be awful.
Personally, I'll say there's no word that I won't say. I never use it in malice
no,
against
that's
anybody.
Fair.
But there is
that's
no,
fair.
Literally no word that I won't say. But,
that's
right.
fair. I heard Nick DiPaolo talking on Howard Stern the other day about the same thing.
Context is everything, and yeah.
Well, right. and even in context, he's like, I'm a comedian. I could say whatever fucking word I want. And
right.
if you don't like it, blow me. And, you know, you can take that attitude, and I'm not totally against that attitude.
Right.
It's just not my cup of tea.
Right.
That being said,
all right.
now that we're totally depressed.
What an after-school special that was.
Yeah, yikes.
Well, you know,
hold on. I need to get in the mood for, like, something else. I gotta play something that'll get me in the mood. We have Bruce Fretz coming on in 3 minutes anyways.
And...
How much better does hearing Mr. Belvedere theme song put you in, like,
you
as
know,
a mood?
That really lifted me up.
First of all, is there a better opening credits in television history than him standing behind the green screen? I'm not talking about when he, you know, they show clips from the show and what have
right,
you.
Right, right, right.
But when the green screen's there and he's hanging with the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
And he's, like, Christopher Hewitt was amazing
that,
on that show.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That, yeah. That,
and Euchre.
Yeah. That really was quite an opening. It's hard to beat that.
People make fun of me for liking Mr. Belvedere. I actually thought it was a very good sitcom.
It was definitely a tough show. I mean, you said earlier.
It was Benson with a fat white guy.
That's right.
And I love how Benson, but I mean, we're talking apples and oranges here, kind of, but the white guy's just like, he's hanging with the Dalai Lama, he's been to the White House,
yeah. He's just so
hoity,
groovy.
Yeah, he's this hoity-toity guy. And Benson's just this black guy who would have been a slave 30 years later. Earlier. That's sad. that's Hollywood for you, though.
Yeah.
They're like, we need a sassy black guy. I bet you anything at the Belvedere pitch, they weren't like, we need a sassy white guy. Guarantee you at the pitch for the show Soap, they're like, we need a
sassy black guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, and well, we are waiting to hear from Bruce Fretz any minute now. Anything else going on? Well, you got any shows coming up or anything? Do you like not work anymore?
No, I haven't. First of all, I've been sick all week. I haven't been going out that much. And I have one show coming up on the 20th.
That's, yeah, you're a sick man.
Fairly big. It's going to be in Evanston. It's a benefit show during which I am an MC. It's for a gentleman who was a bartender.
Good for you.
And he needs to pay his hospital bills and all that. It's a friend of mine he used to work
right.
with. Blah, blah, blah.
Do you mind if I ask, like, why hospital? What happened? Not car related.
It was some kind of surgery that he needed, emergency.
Oof.
Yeah, it was a big deal, and he got it and all that. And he actually, I believe, could pay his hospital bill, but he it's other things that he needs. They're just raising money for him, which I think is great. And I would love to be such a good guy that if something terrible happened to me, everyone I know would just have a benefit and raise as much money as they could. Can you say that that's going to happen to you if you need a triple bypass and you can't pay for it because you don't have Cobra? And I can't say that. I don't know that that's going
to
happen.
I'd have to call up Shelley Leibowitz. He's got to be worth a fortune.
Yeah, right.
I got to get Shelley to give me a triple bypass money.
Right. But I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be – it's weird. I'm going to be doing 10-minute sets between bands,
yeah,
which could go either way because that's like – people – when the band's done playing, people want to talk and drink and all that stuff.
Yeah, no
then
one –
then they got to be quiet again.
Bars
for
are
me.
Very difficult to do comedy. They don't got to be quiet for you, and they may not
no,
be.
No, they're not going to be.
As you've learned.
They might be – I don't know. They might be because it's a special show for a cause, and they might feel the need to be respectful. But I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm happy to take the gig. Oh, I can tell – all right. This happened to me a couple weeks ago. I was on the Blue Line.
Yes.
And I was – it's Sunday morning. I'm going to work. I'm hungover. And there was a jogging thing that day. It was in April, and it was like 80 degrees that day.
Oh, wait. The guest line's ringing in.
Excellent.
Hello, Bruce.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Matt. What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm here with Lee. Lee, say hello to Bruce.
Hey, Bruce. How are you?
Hey, Lee.
Lee Capri.
I'm good. How are you?
So, Bruce, how was your son's baseball game tonight?
They went down to defeat for the first time tonight.
Oh, so, I hope I didn't jinx it.
That's all right.
We got a lot of rain here. So I was going to ask you, Bruce. I'm very curious because I've been following you now. I'm 27. I've probably been following you for 10 years or so. When I used to subscribe to Entertainment Weekly, which I no longer do. That's a story for a different day. But I'm kind of curious, how'd you get started, Bruce, and, like, where did you get started at?
Well, I got started basically as a kid, just, obsessing over pop culture and, reading Leonard Maltin's movie guide as if it were a book cover to cover and memorizing everything that I could about TV and movies. And then I came to New York after college. I went to college at the University of Virginia and just kind of got a general, liberal arts degree and tried to get my foot in the door at various entertainment magazines and couldn't. And then I got lucky and met the librarian from Entertainment Weekly at a backyard barbecue at my former sister-in-law and brother-in-law's house. And he remembered me when they were looking for a fact checker and got hired there. And it was the easiest job I ever had because I already knew all the facts. So I could just use all my free time to start writing for them. And I worked my way up at EW to critic and stayed there for 12 years and then made the jump to TV Guide about 7 years ago. So I've been doing pretty much exactly what I've always wanted to do for my whole life for about 20 years now. I've been lucky because I subscribed to TV Guide for the first time when I was 8 years old for my birthday. I got a subscription to TV Guide and now I'm writing the Cheers and Jeers column there, which is the most popular page in the magazine. So
it sure is. I just want to remind our listeners, we're here right now with Bruce Fretz. He's the writer for TV Guide. He wrote for Entertainment Weekly. He has a website, twocrankyguys.com, which we'll get into, which it's my go-to movie blog now.
Thank you.
Oh, it really it reminds me a lot of my buddy Lenny and I, who will be on the show later. Him and I review movies every week. And you guys are more playful. We motherfuck each other a little more. But
I try to keep it PG-13 at least. But
yes. No, you you do. So when you were with Entertainment Weekly, you did a lot of great interviews.
Thank you.
What was your favorite interview? What were some of your favorites, if you have a couple?
Well, in general, my favorites were old guys. I really like talking to old guys. So, and particularly, old guys who I grew up, admiring and who turned out to be as great as I expected them to be. So the two top ones were probably James Garner and Bob Newhart.
Oh, wow. I love Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart was great. I interviewed Bob Newhart at his house in Bel Air. He had this little room over the garage with all of his memorabilia. And we sat up there and talked for a while, and he just was exactly what you would want him to be. He was just Bob Newhart.
I love that.
Had that great, great timing, great stories, nice guy. And then James Garner, I reviewed on the set of Maverick, which was a terrible movie. But it had been my father's favorite show as a kid, and he worshipped James Garner, and I was able to tell James Garner that my parents had seen him in a play on their honeymoon in Summerstock with Ellen Burstyn back in the around 1960, and he was just a great guy. He was just a guy who seemed like if you weren't talking to him, he'd be talking to one of the crew guys, just telling stories about, you know, the old days. And it was such a contrast, him and actually Jodie Foster, too, who was terrific and very professional and couldn't have been more courteous, versus Mel Gibson, who was on the set, too, and, you know, was just a nightmare to deal with. I mean, his ego was just out of control, and it was impossible to get access to him, and, you know, he wouldn't sit still. And, you know, it was just like, why can't you be like these other two? You know, it's like, why do you have to be the jerk, and these other two are the way that celebrities really should be? So I really like people who have been in the business for a long time, you know, have a sense of perspective. I also love directors. Sidney Lumet, who recently died, was one of my favorite interviews ever. Norman Jewison, guys like that have just been around forever, have made lots of great films, have lots of great stories, and, you know, just know that it's part of the process to, like, deal with the press and to give them good quotes and to, you know, help them with their stories, and it's not like a big struggle to get them. You know, it's not like they resent having to talk to a reporter.
Well, that's good because, you know, I have found with booking this show, I mean, there's a lot of people I'm friendly with. I know I chat with you on the Facebook quite a bit. You know, I talk to a lot of people. But some people don't want to do interviews.
Right.
I'm intimidated that I have to come on after Crazy Eyes Killer, though. I mean, that was a good get for you guys.
Williams is great. I love him. He's a great guy. He really is. And,
You
know, and, you know, we have a lot of good guests coming up, too. I'm fortunate enough, lucky enough that, you know, I know a few people, but not as many as I hope.
Yeah.
Bruce, I was going to ask you then, on the flip side, any other than the Mel Gibson, which is unfortunate because I love Mel, and I really want to wish, like, I really have this vision of Mel being not what the publicity makes him out to be, but I'm getting shot down left and right.
Well, we did a shtick based on the new movie last week, and I think Matt was prepared for an argument with me about him, and I have to say I'm kind of humbled by reading this interview, and I have to say I'm not going to be rough on the guy because I don't think it's fair and all that.
Well, Bruce, was there a least favorite interview or any problems you ever had doing this?
Yeah, well, the other kind of the companion to the Mel Gibson, although I was never a Mel Gibson fan, so I wasn't particularly shattered by the fact that he was a jerk. The one that really did kind of shatter me was Harrison Ford, unfortunately, who I grew up worshiping, you know.
Didn't we all?
Yes, exactly. And so I interviewed him on the set and then afterwards of one of the Jack Ryan movies that he made, Clear and Present Danger, which was kind of a nightmare set. Tom Clancy was trashing the movie in the press at the time because they had deigned to change his brilliant words, you know, for the screenplay, and the director, Philip Noyce, is kind of a crazy guy. And so I went down to the set in Mexico and kind of saw the chaos that was going on. And I think Harrison Ford really likes to kind of control the press and control his image. And he likes to put out this, you know, kind of idea that he's just, oh, you know, he just happens to be a movie star and he'd rather be off building a shelf somewhere in Wyoming, you know. But he's very protective of, you know, how he comes across. And so I saw him lose his temper on the set. And he saw me see him and didn't want me to write about it. And so the rest of the time that I was dealing with him, I ended up interviewing him for an hour in a hotel room in San Francisco at the Junket. He just couldn't have been more difficult and more unpleasant. And it was a struggle for me because on the one hand, that was great for the story. And, you know, the reporter side of me was saying, oh, you know, I'm getting great stuff here. I'm getting a Harrison Ford in a testy mood. But the little kid inside of me was like, Han Solo hates me. Indy, be my friend. Why don't you like me? You know, but
for love.
My editor, Mark Harris, kind of set me straight afterwards. He's like, no, this is all good. You did a good job, because I felt like I'd failed because, you know, Harrison Ford didn't laugh once in an hour that I was with him. And then my editor said, that's not the standard for a Harrison Ford interview. He's not going to be laughing, you know, because.
So he probably played himself in Morning Glory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was kind of disillusioning. And that was one of the things that actually kind of steered me away from writing about movies, at least in terms of interviews and features and more towards television, is that when I'd go on the set of television shows, I felt welcome. I think TV people realize that the press can help them in a way that movie people don't really feel like it can, because it's all so much about just the opening weekend and, you know, one story or one cover doesn't make that much difference. But TV shows, you can really help build an audience for them. And plus, I think TV people want to be movie stars. So.
Well, I want to get into then, how did you end up getting your job at TV Guide from Entertainment Weekly? How'd you make that move?
Well, you know, I thought about going there over the years and have had discussions with them, and The timing just never was right, and I was very happy at Entertainment Weekly. And then there was a change in editors at Entertainment Weekly. I had the same editor for 12 years, and a new guy came in who I didn't particularly see eye to eye with. And at the same time, TV Guide was looking for new people and sort of trying to redefine their voice and redefine themselves. And so I started talking to them, and it just ended up being perfect timing that I was able to make the leap from Entertainment Weekly just as things were sort of starting to go bad, to my mind, at the magazine, and as TV Guide was revitalizing itself and, you know, turning itself into what it is now, the, you know, full-size, full-color, you know, more editorial-driven, less listings-driven, you know, magazine with a slightly, you know, hipper, kind of more insidery voice, which is the way that I like to write. So it just worked out perfectly.
Well, that's good. I was going to get into now your movie blog, too, which you
yes.
kind of expanded off of Two Cranky Guys. You guys did an interview with Phil Rosenthal this week, and he is he's one of my legends. Like, if you very small legend group, and he's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody Loves Raymond is a great show, one of the best
yep.
shows ever. And he is doing a film now called Exporting Raymond, which
right.
I haven't gotten to see yet, and I hear it's outstanding. You did see it?
Yes, yes. It's playing a limited release. I think it's expanding this weekend. It's a very funny film. I've known Phil since Raymond started. I was one of the real champions of the show in its first season when it was dying on Friday nights on CBS and no one was talking about it and everyone thought it was just a kid's show. And I really went to bat for it in EW and wrote some reviews and did some interviews and just really banged the drum for it. And Phil was always really appreciative of that. So whenever I went to the set, he always treated me great. And, you know, I got to know all the writers on the show and, you know, hung out with the cast. And I loved the show. I mean, that show really was what my life was like at the time. I mean, it really addressed what my experience
yeah.
was. And I think I really got what they were trying to do in a way that other critics didn't get until later. And so he's always been great to me. And so when I saw this movie was coming out about his attempt to export Raymond to Russia that he wrote and directed and starred in, I got back in touch with him and said, you know, hey, would you do an interview for my new blog? And he was more than happy to do it and gave us a great interview. And so it was nice. It was our first celebrity interview for the blog because it's mainly movie reviews, but we're starting to expand and write about other things. We've written a little bit about food and about dating. And it was partially started to just cover movies because I don't get an outlet for my movie opinions anymore at TV Guide. But as Brett and I have kind of developed this shtick, we're talking about different things now.
Well, let's talk about some stuff going on in TV because I'm looking for your opinion. I'm actually – on Thursdays, I have a class/mentorship with Jim McCairns, and Jim used to be the VP of programming over at CBS and the
mm-hmm.
VP over at Paramount Television, and he and I were discussing it, and I'm like, I'm having Bruce on. What are some interesting things we should talk about? First one I got to ask you about is, I know you and I both think The Office has fallen off quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But what did you think of the goodbye episode with Michael Scott, Steve Carell?
I thought it only got good in the last 2 minutes. I thought the little bit at the airport when he took off the microphone and kind of addressed the whole conceit of the documentary film crew, having followed them around this whole time, and then it sort of played out like a little silent film with him and Pam saying goodbye. I thought that was very sweet and lovely. I thought everything up to that point was pointless, kind of. I mean,
yeah.
he just stayed on too long. He should have left with the proposal to Holly. I thought that was a really nice moment and a rare highlight for The Office lately. Everything after that, until that last 2 minutes, especially all the stuff with Will Ferrell, who I think has been terrible on the show, has really just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth about Steve Carell and about The Office, which is a show I used to really like, and he's an actor who I really like.
Well, the proposal episode was really good, I thought, and I thought that was kind of a return to form. I thought the Michael Scott leaving was fine for what it was, but it was underwhelming. That was my opinion. Now I know a show you are championing though that I have not seen. One of my best friends, Chuck, he is a huge fan of the show as well as Justified. Can you tell me
best
why
show on TV right now?
That is a good show.
So you're saying show on TV, Bruce?
Best show on TV right now, I would say. Yeah.
Really?
So I gotta check out Justified.
Oh, yeah, you definitely do. The first season was a little uneven. The pilot I thought was great, and then it took a little while to kind of find its footing because they weren't really sure. I think it's hard because it's based on Elmore Leonard's writing to get the right tone because there's that unique mix of dark crime drama and quirky character comedy. And it took them a little while to kind of work it out. But by the second half of the first season, they really nailed it. And this entire second season has just been brilliant all the way through the finale last night. And they brought in this whole new family of characters this year. The Bennets, led by Margo Martindale, who really should win an Emmy for the role. Jeremy Davies from Lost, who's also terrific. Joseph Lyle Taylor, Brad William Henke. They just brought in this whole new family and just kind of transplanted them onto the show and kind of made the whole season about this ongoing feud between this family of pot dealers and Boyd Crowder's family, played by Walton Goggins, and then also Raylan Givens, Timothy Oliphant's character. And it was just... It was like a great movie every week. I mean, just the quality of the storytelling, the acting, the dialogue, the cinematography. I think it's the best thing going right now.
Now, what I know you're also a big fan of, what is it, Treme?
Treme, yeah.
Joe, I love Treme.
And that's really cool. Yeah. I need to check that out.
It's good, too. It's a little bit of a more acquired taste. I think Justified is...
That
really fun and entertaining Treme. You really have to kind of love jazz and New Orleans and David Simon and his style of storytelling, which is a little bit more elliptical.
I love the level of detail in that show and the sense that it feels very real. I mean, for The Wire, which is one of my favorite shows, he brought in crime writers and educators.
Right.
And it gets the same thing here where, you know, he's bringing in chefs and musicians and police and all these people.
Right.
So he likes it. I hate it. Just because he likes it, I hate it. Bruce, I don't even know where to start. I have a couple questions here, then they're like all over the place. Let me first start with this, because this entertains the hell out of me. What is this feud with you and John Stamos? Johnny Stamos, I like to call him. What's the deal?
Oh, it's just a little running joke of mine on Twitter. Basically, it started when Brett Michaels, he tweet blocked me, yeah. Right after Brett Michaels was in the hospital, he tweeted this message about his good friend Brett Michaels, how he was thinking about his good friend Brett Michaels, and he misspelled Brett. He put two T's on it instead of one. So I tweeted like, oh, if he's such a good friend, how come you don't know how to spell his name? At which point he tweet blocked me so that I cannot follow him. He cannot see my comments. And until he lists the tweet block, I am just determined to mock him at every turn. So last night he was on Special Victims Unit playing a character who was described as a douchebag and as a sick son of a bitch. And so I posted that I felt like he was very convincing in this role. So
yes,
I'm just trying to get his goat, that's all.
It seemed like you kind of conceded to him last night. You were very nice about it. And I watched the episode last night. He was very good.
Yep.
We're actually just now being joined by Katie Rose. Katie Rose has finally arrived. You look gorgeous. What are you all dressed up for and all? Fancy schmancy. All right, well, we'll let you get plugged in. All right, Bruce, bubble shows right now. What should or shouldn't be canceled in your mind?
Wow. Well, you know, I'm hoping against hope that Detroit 187 might come back. I think that's probably a lost cause at this point.
Yeah,
but
body of proof coming on strong.
Yeah. The one that is on the bubble that I'm hoping maybe will be brought back is the Chicago Code, which I like a lot. It's been dropping, in particularly in 18 to 49, and I'm a little worried that Fox is just going to pull the plug on it. But, you know, there's a couple shows in contention for Fox. I also like Human Target. I think it's probably going to be one or the other gets picked up. If I had to make a choice, I would pick the Chicago Code just because I think it's a higher quality drama. The Human Target is just a lot of fun. But, what else? Basically, all the mid-season sitcoms can go as far as I'm concerned. I don't like any of them.
Right.
I know some people like happy endings. I can't take, you know, Elijah Cuthbert and Casey Wilson on the same show. It's too much for me.
It's another case of people trying to remake Friends, remake ER.
Yeah.
I'm shocked, not CBS, but yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. I think outsourced is probably gone end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to try some new things over. Now, that was my next question, though, Bruce. Like, I have been thinking, like, every Thursday I got this time with Jim, and I'm like, this guy was huge at CBS, and I'm thinking, how would I change NBC? What if you were put in charge of NBC, what would you do? Because they're dead last right now.
Yeah. First thing I would do would be fire Jay Leno and give Jimmy Fallon the Tonight Show. In terms of prime time, God, there's just so much that needs to be done. It's hard to even know where to start.
I don't even know where to start either. And Law and Order, Ryan. Those.
That's one show. I think that's one show that has jumped the shark not once but many times, several times.
Well, SVU has just been the last couple of years off and on, but and it's unfortunate about Law and Order LA because I like Alfred Molina a lot.
Oh yeah,
and it's just what it is. But So NBC, like here, let me ask you this. Maybe this will help answer our question. My problem, especially with Thursday nights, is it seems like the programming is for a niche audience and not really mainstream. And I think that's a big problem they're having. And then the other problem I think they're having is I think the marketing for them is very poor up until The Voice. The Voice marketing is good, but it's been very poor otherwise.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, definitely Community, as much as I love it, and 30 Rock, as much as I used to love it, are not going to be shows that are ever going to be mainstream hits. And so they've got The Office there as their tentpole, and The Office still does a pretty good number in 18 to 49, but it's a show that's creatively bankrupt and I think is only going to get worse without Steve Carell.
They've
got a real problem, you know, and they've always had this kind of programming philosophy on Thursday night that Paul Sims, a friend of mine who used to run the show News Radio, would call the shit sandwich. You know, they put shitty shows in between good shows, you know, at 8:30 and 9:30, but they don't even really have enough anchors anymore to put the shitty shows in there. So they put stuff like Outsourced and Paul Reiser Show on there. And, you know, that can't even raise to the level of, like, you know, a three share. They're really hurting when you think about what NBC Thursday Night used to be, the kind of numbers they used to do with Cheers and Seinfeld and, you know, all the great shows they had. It's kind of sad how the franchise is just
third night in
falling apart.
They're like the third night in comedy, which is I never thought I'd see NBC like that. But my question then, leading into that then, is for you, what is a great pilot for a drama and for a sitcom? Like, what are you looking for as a critic, as a viewer? Like, what makes a good sitcom or a drama nowadays?
I think it's probably the same thing. I mean, it's you know, great writing, it's great characters that you immediately get and identify with, but it's also a sense of you can see where this show would go. I mean, sometimes they're great pilots, but you're like, well, how are they going to sustain this, you know, every week? And I think we've had a lot of trouble with that in the past couple of years, with people trying to copy 24 or Lost and doing things like, you know, Flash Forward and The Event, where you can just kind of tell from the beginning. It's like, well, how is this going to possibly sustain itself more than one season? And then it doesn't, you know? So I think you need to have a franchise that is going to keep bringing good stories. And I think that's why you see so many cop shows and doctor shows and lawyer shows, because there's just a naturally, you know, inherent kind of storytelling avenue. You can bring in new cases, you can bring in new clients, you know, as the case may be. And it's harder when you're trying to do a show without that kind of franchise. And that's why a show like Tremé, I think, draws such a small audience. One of the reasons why is that it doesn't feel like another, you know, TV show where you can kind of tell where the stories are coming from. I think they've been able to pull it off, but I think a lot of people try to do that and just can't, because you really need to have some kind of engine to keep driving the show from week to week, because since it's an open-ended franchise. You know, and I think that's one of the problems of The Office, too. You know, the British Office didn't run for very long.
No.
And the American Office has run for so long, and there's not a lot of new places you can go with that. It's a show about a paper company, you know?
Right.
I mean, other than everyone dating each other in The Office, they've kind of run out of ideas.
You know, it's interesting you brought up 24, Bruce, because have you heard anything or know anything about there being a film about it?
You know, if Kiefer Sutherland's to be believed, it's happening. But, you know, Kiefer likes to drink a little bit, so I don't know if that's the truth or not. So it's not officially greenlit, or, you know, as far as I know, there's no, you know, hard start date for it. You know, it seems to be there's more likelihood that that's going to happen than I think the Arrested Development movie or the mythical Veronica Mars movie that you will occasionally hear about online. I think there's more of a chance that we will see Jack Bauer on the big screen, but I think they need to get the script right, because I think they saw on the show that, you know, they did a couple of seasons there where they really didn't have a solid idea to build it around, and I think they don't want to make the same mistake with the first movie, because then otherwise it would be the last movie, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just recycling ideas, but also recycling ways of telling those ideas. I mean, just like how many comedy shows are they going to make where it's just like, all right, so the camera follows people around, there's a group of people, they're in a situation, one person says something inappropriate, cut to the next scene, is every scene is exactly like that. And there's so many, there was one show that did that, and now there's tons of, all these shows are doing that same thing.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, the sitcom format is an interesting thing because it seems like the old-fashioned, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond style, you know, laugh track, you know, comedy with four cameras has kind of gone away, except for a few shows on CBS, and a lot of kiddie shows actually still use that format. And everyone's gone to the, you know, no laugh track film format, but that doesn't seem to connect with the audience in the same kind of broad way. It seems to appeal to a much more elite kind of crowd. And aside from things like Modern Family and The Office, which have used this documentary format, and that seems to be resonating with people, other shows that are shot like that just don't seem to really have the same appeal.
Now, Bruce, are you going to be headed to the Upfront next month? And when you do go, if you do go, are you only going to get drunk?
I don't go to the Upfronts as much as I used to. I used to go to all of them, and I kind of got burned out after a while. And now they've cut the press invitation list severely, and they want you to watch it online, and, you know. So I'll probably go to a couple of them, but, yeah, it's mainly just for the parties. You know, at this point, you know, it used to be that was the only way you could see the clips from the new shows, and so you had to be there. But now most of the networks put the stuff up online right away anyway, and there's really no reason to go sit there and suffer through the executive presentations that, you know, and the tortured banter that they make the stars engage in when all you really want to do is just see the clips from the new shows and see what looks good and what doesn't. Hello? Did I lose you? All right, I'm going to call back.
Well, hold on. Hopefully Bruce is still on.
I'm here. Bruce, did you lose me?
We have a storm. We have a thunderstorm outside, and my internet connection went out. It's really bad. I so appreciate you hanging on. You're probably like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Well, Bruce, I was actually just getting to the point where I was going to talk about in the Two Cranky Guys and also on your Facebook. It's really funny. But you talk about dating sometimes.
Yes.
And, dude, could you tell that peanut story for us with the shirt? It cracked me up so bad.
Well, you know, yeah, I just got out of a relationship recently. And so I'm starting from scratch again, just meeting people for the first time and meeting people online and, you know, then setting up dates to, you know, meet in person for the first time. So there was a woman that I had met online who, you know, seemed to have a lot in common with me. She's about my age. She's divorced. She's got kids. She lives out here in the New Jersey suburbs. And so we arranged to meet for coffee, actually. It was a breakfast thing. It wasn't like a, you know, a big fancy night out, but, you know, it was our first meeting. It was our first date.
On the internet, it's got to be breakfast.
Well, it varies. You know, if I'm meeting people in the city, I'll meet them after work for a drink. But if I'm meeting somebody out in New Jersey, it's usually easier to just kind of meet at a diner or something and just, you know, spend an hour together, get a sense of each other and decide if you want to, you know, go out on a real date later. But, you know, this is our first meeting. You're making your first impression. And this woman shows up and she's wearing a Peanuts T-shirt. She's wearing a T-shirt with the Peanuts gang on it. And, you know, I was just like, it immediately just kind of turned me off. I was like, really? For the first date? I mean, I know it's like, you know, daytime and, you know, you're a mom, whatever, but you know, it just rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, I couldn't not stare at her chest, but it wasn't because she had a great body. It was because Snoopy was on there, and I just couldn't believe it, and it just distracted me the whole time, and I couldn't ask her out again after that, and otherwise she was fine. She was, you know, perfectly nice and attractive and charming, but the Peanuts thing was just a deal breaker for me.
Katie Rose, what do you think of this? Relationship expert Katie Rose.
I am not an expert by any means. Trust me.
So Peanuts T-shirt, though, if a guy walked into a date wearing a Peanuts shirt, he gone, right?
He gone if he has kids. Ew.
Oh, yeah. Well, but Bruce has kids.
Well, I'm more like you get married and you have kids together. I could never date someone that had kids from a previous relationship.
The kids puts the Peanuts shirt into perspective.
It's
though.
Probably I mean, her kids.
Yeah, you know.
No, her kids are almost grown. They were had one kid in college and one kid in high school, you know.
Jam on it for peanut butter sandwiches or...
Oh, so yeah.
My only explanation is that she's Canadian, so I thought maybe it was the Canadian thing, but I don't know.
Cancer.
There's your answer. Well, and no, I thought it was interesting, too, because Bruce was talking yesterday about something I talk about in my stand-up act, where I went out on a date, and it was like our seventh or eighth date, and this girl asked me to go camping. And I'm, like, looking at my body, and I'm like, what about all this says camping? Like, what about this says camping? Yeah, exactly. You'd pay to see me go camping.
You'd have, like, a lazy boy, a mini fridge running on a backpack.
So, Bruce.
Yeah, that's my idea of camping. Yeah, so this woman that I'm dating now, I've gone on four dates with, and it's going very well. But all of a sudden, we're at dinner the other night, and out of the blue, she said, let's do a triathlon together. And I was like, have you met me? Seriously, a triathlon? I'm like, aside from the running, swimming, and biking part, that sounds great.
I write for the TV Guide.
Exactly.
I watch a lot of television.
Yeah, yeah. So that was not a deal breaker, but it was just one of those moments of like, you know, you realize who you're with, right? Like, that's not going to happen.
No, I thought that was great. So, Bruce, what the hell's wrong with your Mets?
Well, they won today. They beat the Giants today. But
Nationals. I'm glad we learned that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got some problems. You know, they've got some pitching problems. They've got some hitting problems. They're in trouble. But I'm actually coming out to Chicago to do a Cubs game this weekend. Huh? So I hope it doesn't get rained out.
Oh, there you go. Are the Cubs are there?
Cubs are playing the Reds at home this weekend, and I'm flying out there. And actually, Brett's out there. My two cranky guys colleague is coming, and we've got tickets to sit in the bleachers on Sunday. So I'm hoping it doesn't get rained out.
Bleachers.
We'll have to buy you beers while you're in town.
I've never been to Wrigley, so this is my big pilgrimage this year.
Is Rocket Wrigley going to be open on Sunday for the game?
Most definitely.
Most definitely. Across the street is Rocket Wrigley. You got to go there.
Thanks for the plug.
You're gonna love Wrigley. It's a wonderful place. The Cubs, not so much.
No.
The Cubs, not so much. Well, the Reds have an entertaining team. They got a lot of hitters.
Yeah.
And you could see that Aroldis Chapman maybe on Sunday. So. Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, you know what? I'm gonna have to hit you up then when this weekend. See if you guys want to meet up after the Cub game. We'll meet you at Rocket.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Billy Deck's joint.
Oh, God.
One of the many.
Going.
One of the many. I got to start in on my Billy Deck.
I had to tell him about the show, finally.
Oh, you told him about the show? How did that go?
It went well. I think he's a little jealous.
Oh, he's a little jealous.
Yeah.
No one asked him to do a little show.
He's like, why are we doing this?
Why are we doing this? Oh, we all of a sudden. I see how it is.
No, Billy.
Bruce, I thank you so much for coming on. I hope to have you on.
Sure.
Did you see any of the season finales yet? Did they send you any screeners, or do they expect you to watch that with the rest of the bums?
Yeah, they usually hold back the finales, so I haven't seen anything yet. But,
that makes sense.
Oh, all right. Well, I hope to have you on soon, Bruce, and I will hit you up this week when you're in Chicago.
Cool. Sounds like fun.
All right, you're a good man. Thank you very, very much. Anything you need to plug, twocrankyguys.com is
absolutely
Bruce and Brett Watson's movie blog site, which is fantastic. Great reviews. They're funny. They're informative. I'm a little mad at you, though, Bruce, because you told me Arthur was better than Your Highness. Now, I haven't seen Your Highness, but Arthur was so awful.
It was bad.
Like, you got two fat Italian guys sitting in the back corner going, God, we got to get out of this fucking movie.
Right. When Italians don't like a movie, it's pretty bad.
When Italians don't like a movie with Jennifer Gardner.
Right.
Nick Nolte was wasted. And so you're saying Your Highness, though, is worse, Bruce, really?
Oh, Your Highness is just unwatchably awful. I mean, Arthur, you know, I went to see it with a hot date. So that might have influenced my opinion of it. But Your Highness, I saw with Brett, and we were just sitting there stone-faced through the whole thing. So,
did you see Thor yet, or is that going to be this weekend?
That'll be this weekend, yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
Are you going to see that in Chicago or out in New Jersey, New York?
I'm not sure. It depends on the weather when we're in Chicago. We might go see it if it's raining and we don't want to, hang out outside.
There's a great Chicago I'll let you know about.
Oh, cool.
Go check it out. Are you going to do the 3D, or are you just going to see it like no 3D? Because I hate 3D.
No 3D. Yeah. I hate 3D, I'll avoid it if I can.
Look at that. We agree on that.
But unfortunately, they're going to play it on the IMAX in 3D, and I like it on the IMAX, but
yeah,
3D. So I'm kind of screwed. But, okay, so twocrankyguys.com, you got to go to it. It's fantastic. TV Guide every week in the cheers and jeers. Can you give us a cheer and a jeer for this week, Bruce?
Wow. Let's see. I jeered Nurse Jackie, actually, which used to be a show that I liked a lot, but I'm really getting sick of it. It's really starting to repeat itself. And I cheered Jimmy Fallon's Donald Trump bit the other night,
which I thought
was brilliant. Yeah, so Jimmy Fallon is always a go-to guy for my cheers.
Yeah, his show has some good writers, and it's starting to catch up.
Yeah.
No. There's two quality shows that late. Craig Ferguson's great, too, I think.
I like Craig.
I'm not a big Craig Ferguson fan, I got to say. It's all about Craig, you know? He's got no, like, sidekick. He's got no band. You got to love Craig to love that show, and I just don't love Craig.
Oh, well, that's fair. That's fair. I don't think Craig Ferguson should take you off the Christmas card list for that. So order your TV guide. Order your TV guide to check out Bruce's column. And, Bruce, I thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much,
definitely,
man.
Definitely. Thank you. It was fun.
Okay, thank you. He's great. Love him.
That was informative.
Good people.
That was informative and
people.
Stimulating.
Good people.
Yep.
I'm a big fan.
Nice.
So, Katie Rose, you want to update us on where you were, what life's doing? You were at Chicago tonight.
Chicago Live.
Chicago. Oh, what's Chicago Live? I'm not even aware.
It's Chicago Tribune's like new little show.
Oh, the sports thing.
No, it's like a mix of things. I think this is either their third or fifth season.
What's it on? What channel?
It's like a radio show that they tape.
Oh, with Dave Kaplan? Is that the thing with Kaplan or no?
He does it and Rick Hogan does it.
And it's at WGN, right?
No, it's at Chicago Theater. But it's in the lower theater, but it's still really cool. But
so Billy was on or what?
Billy was on there with some girl, Melissa Pierce, and they were talking about like social media and your business and
stuff. Oh, okay.
But then they had like Cardinal George on and then Second City people. So it was interesting. It was good.
They followed the Cardinal with Second City.
Wait, was it really fun, though, or are you just like
Billy
plugging
really
away?
Good. Billy
was really
good. The Cardinal was interesting, and Second City was awful.
Yeah, you know, Kay Rose, I went to an Improv Olympic show a little while back, and it was painful to sit through. Really
I've
painful.
I've seen some good stuff at Improv.
Have you?
And at Second City, but I don't know. And there was this Patty Vasquez. She's a comedian.
Yeah.
She was there. She was okay,
Cinco
but
de Mayo.
She laughed after every single one of her jokes, and I despise that.
Yeah.
So it kind of ruined it for
I
me.
Saw, she did that. I saw her open for Lewis Black at the theater at the,
really?
at Navy Pier, and she was doing that, and it was really off-putting.
Yeah, like, I find myself so funny.
Right. And then what a contrast. Mm. Yeah, anyway.
Well, that's very interesting.
I'm
Chicago
not play or
Live.
Hate.
Was it like a public thing, though? A public event or a corporate thing?
How do you mean?
Like, do you buy tickets to go see
tickets.
It? The public knew about it.
Yeah.
Oh, so I just didn't know. No one told me. That's all. Oh, there were drinks? Yeah.
There were drinks.
No, I didn't get any of that action either. Excellent. Well, anything else going on this week in your life?
My sister-in-law is due for baby any second now.
Oh, so.
She's 3 centimeters by.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, women
that's
know
like,
all
that's like
the...
women pregnancy.
Yeah.
Oh,
not that much.
Producer Adam just made a hand gesture.
It's the shape of a V.
You're thankful you cannot see.
Okay.
She texted me that she's 3 centimeters dilated and that her uterus is thinning out.
Boy or girl. Oh, she texted you my uterus is thinning out?
I didn't even know what that meant.
No, I don't either. That sounds disgusting.
You know what I think is great? I think we finally just probably gained our first female listener on this show because of what Katie Rose said.
You're welcome.
Well, yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't even know what that means. Your uterus
I guess it's,
is thinning?
Okay, I'm going to get a little graphic. I
yeah,
guess
please.
It's,
yeah. Please do. Yeah.
I guess it's normally thick, and then it thins out, and baby can slide out easier.
Caesar's getting a boner. You need to calm down on that.
Bony.
Boing.
Like a door stopper.
Her milk's coming in, too. Did that do it? I made that one up.
Oh.
But it could be. I don't know.
Great. Let's see Second City come up with one of those.
Oh, you know, Katie Rose, I got to find this on my computer, but what you said about Lenny today, I almost swerved off the road.
Yeah, that was great.
And killed myself.
That's just how
and this
I envision
is why
him.
This is why you do not text and drive. Let me just
I
tell you
constantly.
Right now. I do all the time too. After today, if it's from you, I can't look at it
I
because
pull over.
I laugh too hard. So I got to find this. Where would it be? No.
It was on that ridiculously long thread that we were all commenting on.
Yeah. Only us,
yeah.
By the
only
way.
Only us. Yeah, really.
No listeners or anything. Everyone.
That, our biggest fans, us.
Oh, wait. Chuck Salvatore replied to one.
Well,
yeah,
and
he said you were right.
Oh,
which is,
it does count then.
That's interesting. So... So Adam said he needs to hear Lenny's take on Osama. And this was the first time Lenny's name was brought up. And so Katie Rose decided she needed to reply with, since I've never met Lenny, parentheses, is he even real, ? I feel like he only exists in smoking lounges and fast food joints, like a smoky eating apparition with a dirty mouth.
He just called in, and I've never met him, and I just like to envision
people.
Sounds
like it came from a Hemingway novel.
Oh, we got a phone call. Let's see if it's a pranker. Hello?
Hi.
Who's this?
Matthew?
Who is this?
Your mother?
I knew it was
your
mother.
No, it's not.
And Katie Rose, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my
you.
God, it is my
it's
mother.
Totally
why is she calling my show?
Thank you.
Get her off. Someone hang up.
I called your show because I'm in Florida, and Sarah and I were listening to it.
How hammered are you? A scale of like one to gone. You sound blitzed.
You sound in a good mood, Mrs. A.
Yeah, she doesn't sound
I am in a good mood.
Italian?
Yeah.
Well, it's Cinco de Mayo.
Oh,
because you're so Mexican, right?
Right.
No,
your mother is partying so fucking hard.
I don't doubt it. My sister works at a bar. They're probably doing that.
Okay.
No, I wasn't. We weren't at Sarah's bar. We were at another bar called The Wharf in St. Petersburg. I almost lost my shoe in the bay.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something about my aunt Elaine, your good buddy Elaine?
Yeah.
Her brother, Bill, Tim, and I know he's listening, and he should call in because he does not like our show.
Bill doesn't like your show.
He says he does not like anything we talk about, and I don't answer his questions that he sends in.
Well,
I've never gotten a question from him.
I have no control over that. I just wanted to call. Well, I actually listened to your show, but I didn't hear the whole show because we were at the bar and I couldn't hear it. But did you ask Mr. Bruce anything about how ABC's ratings are doing that – since people are boycotting them with All My Children and One Life to Live being canceled?
No.
Did you ask them about that for your sweet mother?
I got bad news. I got more bad news for you, Ma. They're thinking of canceling General Hospital for Katie Couric's talk.
Oh, I don't care about General Hospital.
Laura, who cares?
What?
No, I mean, that was then, this is now. I don't care.
My mom is on strike.
Hey, Matt.
See, because
that was Sarah.
Killed All My Children.
Oh,
yeah. Your sister said hi. Did you hear her?
Hi, Sarah.
She'll hear that feedback in the other room.
Bad guys decided to call me here and not on my private line afterwards. That's great.
Your private line.
My private
line. I thought your show might need a boost. And I wanted to welcome Katie Rose back, because I know how sick she was last week. Am I having
problems
talking?
You waited the whole time until Katie Rose came in late.
Oh.
You waited the whole time to call. Until she came
in. I didn't know Katie Rose came in late. We were at the bar. The bar was noisy. I couldn't hear everything. So I really didn't start hearing anything until we were halfway across the bridge coming back to Tampa.
What is this phone number you're calling from? Is this a hotel phone?
What if it was
Jay? No, this is Sarah's landline.
Oh, she has a landline? Does she know how to work?
No.
She can't lose a landline, so that's good.
Oh, yeah. That's true. She can't.
Please, talk to my mother.
And I'm supposed to tell you I saw dolphins.
Oh. Ah, dolphins.
You saw dolphins? You could go to the Shedd
Aquarium. You know, those big fish that swim in the lake, that in the rivers and oceans and stuff that your little sister likes. Those things.
No idea. No idea what she likes.
Yeah. And what happened? How come you guys cut out again? Bruce was talking and you weren't there. He had to call you back.
There's a huge thunderstorm here and our internet went out.
Do I have to come home to air weather?
Do to Bruce, like we did it on purpose.
I know you didn't do it on purpose, but you guys always seem to have problems. Every week there's another problem.
That is true.
Well, you know what? We started on time this week,
best
and there were
ever.
No problems.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. That's very good. How many listeners do you have now?
Hold on, Mom. I got to put you on call waiting.
He's looking at hold. Wait, hello?
That was for you, Ma.
Hi.
Oh, it's Sarah. It didn't even... What the fuck?
Wait, Mom was telling you that she saw dolphins because they were live wild dolphins.
All those people listening in L.A. and New York right now are riveted.
We are so sorry.
You don't have people listening in...
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think so.
All right, I meant
in
Derek.
L.A. and New York. they're all on Nordstrom, and this Nordstrom.com, and this just came up as like a side feed.
Oh, she's hammered, too. Boy. She's gone, too.
No, I'm not. No, I had four margaritas, and Mom had four margaritas. Mom rants about all my children after four margaritas, and I just play with pepper.
You do realize this lasts forever. It goes on iTunes and you and Ma calling in people drunk.
Jesus.
This lasts forever.
This is great.
Well, this is going to be nice for my presidential campaign one day.
Oh.
You and Lenny both.
If there had been podcasts in 1983, there would have been a scene like this in the movie The King of Comedy, I think, where the mom was calling down when he's trying to pretend he was on Jerry Lewis's show.
Well, there are
yeah.
They're with the dolphins. Don't you hear them? They're with the dolphins.
Are they swimming with the dolphins? Oh, that did not just happen.
Christ. Oh, my
Lord.
That
was alarming.
That wasn't appropriate. So, what's my dog doing?
You know what? To the five viewership this increases, you're welcome. To all five of those viewers, personally, they will be on Mom's Mickey Mouse card.
If I had the budget for a flushing noise, I'd be playing it right now.
I used to have a fart thing on my phone, a fart app.
Oh, wow.
All right, well, we love you. I'm going to St. Louis tomorrow, so I'll still only be 5 hours away. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Have a good show. Wait, Mom has to say bye, too.
Okay.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey. I love you, and don't forget to pick me up, please.
Hold
on. I'm sitting at Midway waving my arms for a taxi.
What time do I got to pick you up from the airport?
I don't know. Dad's got the thing. I have no idea what time I'm coming home. 1:30? 1:45? 1:35?
I'm going to send Lee to pick you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send
Lee. Just make sure somebody I know. Okay, well, anyway, Katie Rose, I'm glad you're healthy.
Thank you.
The rest of you guys in my basement, have a good evening, and I'll talk to you all later.
You have to talk about how cheap the production on this show is that we're in the basement.
I'm sorry. Was I not supposed to say you're in my basement? Good night, everyone. Goodbye.
Night. Travel.
All right.
I love how she said good night and goodbye like she's the host of the show. She's
yeah.
like, good night, everybody.
Safe
travel.
Say good night, Gracie. Suddenly, Lenny seems like a richly nuanced, highly dignified part of the show after that.
He'll be calling in 10 minutes and you won't be saying it then.
Right.
Is this going to start some feud that you're just going to make up in your mind?
What feud would that be?
I'm surprised she didn't.
First of all, I did not make up the Chuck feud in my mind. It happened. Chuck downplayed it.
I'm surprised
when he came on.
I'm surprised she didn't remind you to take your ear medicine or something like that.
Or go to the bathroom before you go to bed.
Right. Move your car.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my
God.
Let's
call Charles.
You're not going to bring this over.
I just want to see how Charles is doing.
Should I be writing material for this show? Or?
There is no material. We don't need any of that material nonsense.
Hello.
Wow. Could you be any more negative?
I'm sorry. Love you. Love your show. First time caller.
You always say that. That's not...
Yeah, I know.
Just shtick.
Yeah, it is.
How's your little show doing?
My little show's great.
I don't know. You just missed it. My mother was on.
Oh, no. I heard.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Great. So,
nothing like a drunk mother in Florida calling.
How's listenership for your show right now? Probably as low as ours.
Probably. Supposedly we have 300 people that download our show every week.
Oh, so it is as low. No, it's a little bigger than ours, probably. Like 299 bigger. I think my dad's listening upstairs as he sleeps.
Nice.
He just leaves his computer on, so we have a listener. He doesn't really listen. Oh, no. I better stop before he calls in. We don't need
right.
that. Yeah, I brought pizza down for everyone, and you told me to get it out.
When are you moving to Vegas?
Yeah, when are you and Chuck moving to Vegas? You guys go to Vegas, would you? Get out of here. That's what I hear all the time. Was that the night with the jazz hands, Chuck?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, Jessica Rabbit's walking upstairs. I don't. Lee's a movie dork. You got it.
Yeah.
So, Charles, what else is going on? Oh, are you watching the Blackhawks anytime soon? Are they on?
No, I'm not, dickhead.
Oh, they're not.
The Black.
What happened? What happened?
They lost.
Oh, they did.
To Vancouver.
Oh, I wish I knew about that. I wouldn't have asked such an awkward, terrible
question.
Yeah,
especially since it's the third time you've done that to me.
Well, at least you're watching the Bulls now, right?
No.
Oh. I love how you...
I didn't watch the Bulls yesterday. I decided to work out instead.
So, Chuck, tell Katie Rose about the broad with anal beads that you were making
Come
out with Saturday.
On. Bring it on, Chuck.
All right. First of all, they weren't really anal beads. They were just like a necklace with big balls that looked like anal beads.
Red big balls. Red big balls that looked like anal beads.
Yeah, and so what? We made out a little bit.
And?
And that's it. I didn't have sex with her, if that's what you're asking.
He stayed on her neck the entire time.
And you sent her Rosie O'Donnell-looking friend for me. Thanks a lot for that, by the by.
Rhino, the man beast? Yeah, you know, I wanted you to have fun with it.
Oh, the man beast.
Do you see what he says when people aren't around?
I only
about me when Kubicki or somebody brings my name up.
That's, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I should tell him to listen to the show.
Oh, fuck.
That'll last about 10 minutes, and then he'll be calling me going, Matthew Aaron is not funny. I hate him.
Bill Timpf hung up on Facebook. I guess he's not listening to the show now after I called him out. Well, we lost another listener because I wasn't doing political Republican propaganda for him. Chuck, you're a Republican, right?
No, I'm not.
Republican that's in the anal beads, which is really like, man, that makes sense.
They're the biggest freak.
Yeah, yeah, that makes complete
sense. I'm not a Republican. I don't like any elected official, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. I think they're all full of shit.
They are all full of shit, every single one of them?
There's an American.
Yeah, I don't believe any of them. I think they're all full of shit, they're all thieves, and they're all liars.
What do you mean they're the biggest freaks? My parents are Republicans.
Listen.
I am
so
the
are mine.
Five, though.
Well,
so.
That'll be for another show.
My parents are Republican,
I just try
to pretend they're my good friends, not my parents.
I'll explain that on
Your
another
roommate.
Show.
Yeah, my roommate.
You know what? I will do one show that's just completely political and get it out of our system.
Chuck will not be here. Chuck
that.
Has roommates.
And I'm not denying that I'm not a freak. I wanted her to have anal beads.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Supposedly, it's supposed to increase the orgasm.
When you got something in your ass, yes. That is true. No, you're right. Scientifically, there have been studies that say when you have something in your ass for a lady, it increases the orgasm. That's true. That's not sick.
Uh-oh,
wait. Said,
Bill Tim has signed back on and sent me a message.
I'm a big
savage. Had to go to the store asshole. Oh, yikes.
Oh, wow.
I got an asshole. I love you, Bill. Big fan.
Yeah.
First-time caller. Big listener, first-time caller. So, Chuck, go back to you saying anal beads enhances the orgasm. Oh, now
that's what I've heard. I've never tried it.
So. Yeah, wait. Who's doing what with the anal beads is what we all want to know. Don't make
you stick the anal beads up her butt while you're having sex with her or while you're eating her out, and it increases her orgasm.
That's right. That's what I read.
Charles, you know my mother's listening to this show, and next time you come over and chit and chat with her, she's going to remember that you're
mm-hmm.
a big fan of the
exactly.
anal beads. So
well, you know what? At least she'll know that I'm into women. She still thinks you're a homosexual.
Okay. Yeah, why don't you have a girlfriend? Are you gay?
No, Mom.
I just like when Chuck comes over. He talks stories with my mom like they're two old Jew broads. And then, oh, no, sorry, Jewish broads.
Because your mom loves the impression of you that I do.
Sure. And then last time he came over, they're sharing recipes.
Come on.
Get out of here.
Swear to God.
Get out of here.
Swear to God.
I gave his mom the recipe for the White Castle stuffing. Oh, it's good.
She fucked that up so bad. Yeah, tell Katie Rose.
That sounds awful.
Because it sounds like trailer park food. But
it sounds terrible. I thought the same thing, but I had it, and it was delicious.
Chuck, did we ever talk about the trailer park broad you banged on this show?
No, but I have a feeling we're about to.
Like real trailer park?
Tell Katie Rose. She needs
you
to know.
Hell.
Okay, so I went to this bar like the day after my birthday, and I was wasted, and I met this girl, and we started talking. And obviously, last call, bar closed. She's like, do you want to go back to my place? And I'm like, sure. So I go back to her place, and she pulls into the trailer park on 103rd and Cicero. And as we're going into her trailer, she stops, she turns around, she looks at me, and she says, I hope you don't mind the mess, but my 17-year-old son's a bit of a pig. But don't worry, he's not here.
Ralph. Does she have anal beads?
No, she does not have anal beads.
But you didn't finish the story, Katie Rose. I mean, Chuck, for Katie Rose, you didn't finish the story.
Oh, yes, right. So the next morning, I didn't want to stay there anymore, so I pretended that I was getting sick, so I made her drive me home. But what I did is that I made her drop me off at the apartments, like, three doors down. So I ran, and I hid behind the apartments in front of, like, some random stranger's door until I waited and saw her driving away, and then I ran back to my place. Because I didn't want her to know where I lived.
Banging in her hammock inside her trailer, because we know she didn't have a bed. It was a hammock. It was a hammock with a deep fryer above it. How nervous.
It was a futon, all right?
It was a futon?
Yeah.
No, I'm making it up. It was a bed, you idiot.
How do you get a bed in a trailer? I don't understand these people.
Piece by piece. One piece at a time. Like the Johnny Cash song.
No offense, Republicans. I just don't understand these people. There's no Democrats.
Hey, Mel Gibson had a bed in Lethal Weapon when he was living in the trailer.
So you were saying you were sleeping with Mel Gibson?
No, I'm just saying you can get a bed in a trailer.
In our show, by the way. I don't know how he keeps getting into our show, but
he's
that Mel's a crafty dude.
He is news.
So
yeah, that's my trailer park story.
Yeah, that's your trailer park.
That's a good one.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was. The best part is
the
beginning.
I was hoping that she like stabbed him or something. Oh. Like that would have been a little more entertaining.
She wanted a little,
what?
A little inbred rat child.
She was hoping that you like
she
stabbed him or gagged you.
Gagged.
That's WT, right?
Wow, I guess we're feuding again.
Oh, come on.
I'm joking.
I'll stop this a feuding and a fussing.
I bet that noise was made in the trailer quite a few times.
Quite a few times.
So back to the anal beads. Are we going to be seeing this girl again? Are we going to have to unfortunately see her and her friends out on the town anytime soon?
Well, the good news is that the one that liked you lives in Elgin, so you probably won't see her.
Oh, I bet the whiskey has never seen such ugly broads in their life. We were at a whole new level of low the other night.
Oh.
Like, it
Where
does not the whiskey across from Gibson's. We went to Gibson's for dinner. Lenny will be talking about when he calls in, I'm sure. But we went to Gibson's as Lenny only can. We went to Gibson's, then we went to the whiskey. And at the whiskey, Chuck, of course, attracts. He must have been wearing mud or something because he attracted the nastiest broads on the planet, and they were hammered. And they were
okay. First of all, only two of the four were nasty. The other two were pretty attractive.
Like Chuck,
hello.
What, do you have a bag of Ruffles over your head?
No, I have a Publix bag. In my hand.
A totally. Bag?
Public bag.
Yeah. Well, I have a good topic or question. Because I think Chuck is like soup without salt, needs a little something. So my question is,
what's your question?
Let's play a game called awesome, obnoxious, or transsexual? And I'll give you a name, and you guys discuss. So, Kristen Wiig. Kristen Wiig. Ready? Go. Awesome, obnoxious, or transsexual?
I like her.
Awesome. Awesome. She's hot. Awesome.
Not a transsexual.
She looks really hot when she's drunk in that new movie she's doing. But continue.
I was thinking she's kind of tranny-ish. I like her, though. I like her in a tranny sort of way.
Hang on. Are most of these going to be trannies?
Probably.
Okay.
What's the next one? Katie Rose and I are liking this game.
Yeah. Why does your sister know all these trannies?
Ready? Go.
Didn't hear Charles.
Awesome,
yes.
Awesome, obnoxious, or transsexual. Chuck, go.
I'm going to say awesome.
I would feel bad about being called obnoxious. I'd sooner be called transsexual.
Really?
You know what? I'm going to get sad.
Well, but that would assume that you're effeminate.
Chuck's awesome. I'm going to go awesome for Chuck. Katie Rose? You're scared?
Talking about anal beads.
Hey, Chuck did come on here and talk about anal beads
in a very,
and trailer park sex.
In a very brazen fashion. So I'm going to say awesome. I wasn't going to play this game.
What's the next one?
Awesome, obnoxious, transsexual, Britney Spears.
Ooh.
How transsexual.
Chuck gets an awesome, but Britney Spears gets a ooh.
No, well, yeah, she probably gets a transsexual.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to have
to. I think she probably already has that.
Ooh. How did we
or
get from Kristen
or...
Wiig to Britney Spears?
What?
With Chuck and
Chuck, you said
well, what's great about this game is that it's transcended to all generations and genders and trailer trash and whatever. I thought of it because you said trailer trash, and so I thought it'd just be a good game to play.
Well, we gotta go on that note, Sarah. We gotta
go have another margarita.
Yeah, Barney Gump.
No, I'm sober. Mom wants to take over the phone right now, but I thought it was a big game. My next one was going to be Mel Gibson, and then my fourth one was going to be Jesus Christ. But
I want your mom play the game, so Mama.
Mom got mad about the awesome, obnoxious, or transsexual mentioning Jesus Christ. I'm going to go.
Okay, put Mama.
The anal beads probably.
Mom wants it back on. Uh-oh.
Mom wants it back. Okay.
All right.
Hi, who's in the basement with you? Other than Katie Rose, what are the other two guys' names?
God,
Matthew.
Are we in trouble?
This is really happening.
I can't. I'm nervous.
Can I tell you a true story? And this is in my stand-up. This is why I stopped smoking. Because even when I was 25, I thought if I got high, I'd come home to get grounded.
No weed could prepare you for this moment.
No, I thought I'd get grounded. I would turn to my friends, and they'd be like, aren't you like 25? And I'm like, I don't get grounded.
Would you just answer my question?
You're listening to the Matthew Aaron Show. We're joined by Lee, Katie Rose, Adam, and Caesar. Hanging up on you.
Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah, I hung up on them.
Yeah.
That was had to be done.
Yeah. Jesus.
This is going to be really interesting.
I really thought that we were much more.
Charles.
Yes. Why does your sister hate me?
I don't think she hates you. She just said awesome. What was the other one?
Obnoxious
or I've never heard of that game before.
No.
I think she made it up on like margarita number 6.
Your sister hates me. It's hilarious.
Well, what did she say? You were obnoxious or transsexual? Which one did she say at least?
I don't know, but that's only fitting because my sister doesn't like you. Because of the taco incident.
Oh, can we not bring that up on my show?
Let's chat about
on my program.
Chuck Sullivan.
If Matt ever has me on at his house or for the show, I'll talk about it then.
Chuck, you could come sit in anytime you'd like. Bring Anal Bead Girl with you. I'd like to interview her as well. Get her naked.
Would you? She was attractive, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm going to have her show us how those work, as you well know.
If they're, like,
pliable. Yeah, Chuck, how does she get the anal beads in your area?
It's about love and trust.
And lube.
Yeah.
And lube.
I would think lube. I'm not quite sure. I don't think you just jam them in there.
Sounds like a great self-help book. Love, trust, and lube.
This show is so not PG anymore. I can't wait till Caesar goes home tonight and has to write up like a little short like paragraph about the show, and he just throws in anal beads. Oh, we got another call. This one from California. No California listeners.
Please, Mr. Jay, I need to pick the landing down this day. Number 30, the end of the day. If I were hanging with the door, put something out that door, please don't raise hands. You are not sure. I walked into the local corner store, bought myself a very nice looking carom board. My fingers get sore when I shoot the next door, and the lady first scream, because they all want some more of the Luther Krishna and the Bikramensi.
Okay. Right. Who else is on the phone now?
You are so cute. We got another. That is really cute.
Hey, they got their shit on the radio. Yeah. Good for them.
All right.
That's one of our Twitter followers, I'm sure. Hello, Mom. Good to hear you again.
I had one thing I wanted to say. Oh. And you have to tell Cesar, whatever. He may not have boners in my basement.
You may not what in the basement?
Boners.
Ma, did you say that word on... Ma, hang up.
Well, you said it.
Boners in the basement.
What? He said he was having one in my basement, and I don't like that.
Uncomfortable is a family tradition.
Oh,
you know, it's nice you can do it's making him uncomfortable is an Aaron family tradition. It's nice when you can do things with your mom, you know, mother and son together.
Oh, God. Yeah, and Sunday is Mother's Day. God help me.
So, thanks, Ma. Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, and tell Chuck he needs to come over soon. We need to chit-chat.
Chuck's on the phone now. He can hear you.
Hello, Mrs. M, or Mrs. Aaron.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
That's really good. We need to chit chat sometime. You need to tell me some more stories.
Oh,
no. Okay.
You know what, Chuck? As long as you're still on the air, I'm going to hang. I'm going to say goodnight and hang.
Good night, Ma. Okay. Hung up on you.
Don't call anymore.
Beat you to it.
All right. If you're listening to this show and you feel kind of weirded out, like all these people are calling in and they all know each other and I don't know who they are, I feel the same way.
But it's kind of funny. It's like reality TV on the radio.
Right.
Okay.
You just can't see these. Well, it's supposed to be that way. You don't want to see these people.
No.
Trust me.
Yeah. Well.
Oh,
she got to say boner.
Well, what am I supposed to do, not answer for my mother? And then she said boner?
She said boner.
I can't believe she said that.
All right.
Caesar, Kaiser, whatever your name is.
Cesar.
Cesar.
Yeah,
that's good.
Cesar. No boners in my basement.
I, you know what? Making him uncomfortable, I think that's probably the first thing that you two did together in a while. It's nice when you can do things with your mom.
I don't know what you speak of. I would never do such a thing. Wow. Oh, my family is way more Jewish than we let on, I think.
Ah, yeah. And I get all the flack.
You don't look so Jewy anymore.
I know. I got my hair cut and my beard. Yeah. I look more Heartlandish. I look like the brawny guy. I'm wearing, for those of you
the
out there,
brawny guy.
I cut my hair real short, I shaved my beard, and I'm wearing a flannel shirt. So I now look like the brawny guy. First of all, I look fucking great. Let's get that out of the way.
What brought this on?
I get depressed a lot, and it makes me feel and look thinner. I think younger.
It's not so, like, ironic because you don't look like a Jew anymore.
Yeah. You know, people constantly telling me they thought I was a Jew. I'm not going to lie. That entered into it a little bit. But
you kind of look Jewish.
Yeah.
And not that there is a way to look Jewish.
No.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. That was week one, by the way.
Oh.
Okay.
You know what? Where is Kanata this week?
I don't know. Where
He's
is he?
He's taking a long time with that test. We're about to call him if I have my way here. Freaking Kanata.
Who's Kanata?
He's probably eating.
Oh, Chuck. That's not kind of, are you going on the boat tomorrow? Supposedly we're going on Pat's boat.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know about it again.
I don't know about it really either. I mean, I know about it. Like, they tell me everything, and I'm supposed to remember. Let's see here. Dialing Leonard. Okay, we're calling Len Kanata. Let's see if he answers. If not, we'll leave him a message. No boners on the air. No, just in the basement.
Hey, you reached Len Kanata. I can't get to the phone right now.
Back. Let's hear his message.
Unless you're abroad.
Here he comes. This is gonna be good.
Let me test. It started late.
What happened to Len Kanata? He doesn't even have an answering machine.
A fine lawyer he will make.
Yeah. A good politician.
Right.
They don't talk on the phone ever. No.
No, never.
They don't need phones for anything.
No.
Hey, Valen.
I was looking forward to that.
Well, where is he? He's supposed to call in like 5 minutes ago. You know, he's... Oh,
yeah.
Man, fucking Kanata. Let's try him again. I got to at least hear his answering machine.
I know. I feel, you know.
Are you calling like a landline and you're really expecting an answering machine? Or
oh,
cell
you know,
phone?
That could be. I have no idea. I don't even know if this is actually his number because I didn't look in my phone.
Whoever it is.
I hope it's not.
Whatever.
It's like an internet posted number. Wait, it's not the number that's in my phone, I don't think. Well, we'll find out. What? Leonard.
Where did you get it from?
Off Facebook.
Oh. Pick up Leonard. 7-8. Right.
Yeah, don't, that's the number.
Don't do that.
This fucking Kanata.
This fuck. Nothing.
It says call failed. You know what that means? That fucker's pressing the FU button.
Oh. Wouldn't that send you straight to voicemail? Or answering machine, as you say.
I almost feel like I got to do the week wrap up myself here with him. Well, I'll tell you about Fast Five. I'll review Fast Five. I'll review for Lenny too. So we go see the Fast Five.
All right, I'll be Matt Aaron.
Okay, I'll
all right,
be Lenny.
All right.
So Maddie, tell him about how we saw the Fast Five.
Well, we saw it. It was very, you know. Oh,
did you hear Brucey on the radio earlier? He's a good. We gotta do drinks with Brucey. Like I gotta tell you right now, me and Brucey, we gotta have some drinks.
Well, we'll do that sometime, Lenny. Give me your thoughts on Fast Five. I'm Matt Aaron.
Oh, you know, Maddie, I mean, you'll agree with me, I'm sure, on this. We were so distracted by the Osama news as we got it during Fast Five, and We
don't you
not,
listen to the show, Len?
We
Didn't
did
you hear
not,
the first part of the show?
We did not belong in that audience. Let me tell you something. We were the only two guys like us there.
We were. And, you know, they were. Everyone was looking at us. We were talking the whole way through the movie.
Hello.
Okay, we're back.
Sugar helps the medicine go down.
Yeah, that storm's killing us tonight. It's cut out the internet twice.
Yeah, I hope it's the storm.
I would assume.
Okay.
Or it's Caesar's using way too much RAM.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. Okay.
Stop abusing the RAM and stop getting boners in my mother's basement.
Wow. So no Lenny tonight. I think his fans are going to be very disappointed. He has a lot of fans.
How much you want to bet Lenny calls in with like 2 minutes left?
How much you want to bet Lenny's fans talk exactly like Lenny? like they use the word irregardless a lot.
Or like Mikey Turzo's fans. In any event, why am I not calling Mikey Turzo? He would be a good backup for Lenny.
Should I do the what have you?
Yeah, should I do the what have you? Do your little news story real all quick right. While we wait to hear from Kanata.
All right, let's try and get in touch with Lenny. And
Mike Turzo.
I found a website. It's called betterbooktitles.com. It's run by a comedian named Dan Wilbur. And what this is basically a thing for people. It's comedy. It's not for serious. But he renames books to give them names that tell you what's going on in the book, because people want to know what the book is about before they buy it. I thought that was what covers are for, but that's all right. So, it's a silly thing because people can never remember. How many times are people just like, I saw this movie, I can't remember the name of it, and they can tell you everything about it, but nobody bothers to remember the name. And some of these are funny. He's got For the Great Gatsby, Drink Responsibly is the change title. Wuthering Heights, the alternative title is My Teacher Ruined This. So it's things like that.
Oh, wait just a second. I believe Lenny's calling in.
Oh, fuck him. Let him wait. I've started a thing.
Hello.
Screw Lenny.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, Lenny.
Hello.
All right.
Leonard.
Lenny.
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 Hello. Hello.
Oh, boy.
Hello.
Yeah, the great, great radio. Oh, this is our most irritating show.
I got to hang up on
Lenny. I'm continuing.
I had to hang up on Lenny. Continue.
All right.
No callback.
So it's mostly for a lot of older books. So I came up with some ones for some modern books. These are alternative titles that tell you what the book is.
Alternative titles for modern books.
For the reader, big book. Alternative title is Come for the Nazism, Stay for the Graphic Descriptions of Sex.
That's good. I came up with the title, too.
Okay.
The Boring.
The Boring. Continue. Okay. Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Okay.
Very popular book. Alternative title, Inspirational Story for Angry Dykes.
That's good. That's good. I got one. The Boring.
The Boring.
Continue.
Okay. Eat, Pray, Love. Sensation. I have two for this. Me.
I like that one. I like
and another
that
one. Alternative title, I Rebel Against My Cookie Cutter Life That I Willingly Chose.
And
not as good.
The Boring.
Okay,
though.
The Boring. Okay,
it's called The Boring.
Catcher in the Rye. A lot of children have to read this book.
Catcher in the Boring.
Okay.
What's Catcher in the Rye?
Alternative title. Yeah. I can't articulate my dislike for most things. Okay,
that's too smart for me. But continue. I'll get it in like 5 minutes.
The five people. The five people you meet in heaven.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
I stole It's a Wonderful Life. You suck, Mitch Albom.
Oh, I like You Suck, Mitch Albom, but I hear he's a good guy, actually.
All
but,
right.
So
well, Running with Scissors. No One Understands Me, Blah, 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 Statutory Rape.
Circumcision.
Okay. Okay. And one last one, Hot Water Music. By the great Charles Bukowski, Collection of Prose.
Yes.
It's just a picture of a fist and some vomit.
Like anal fisting?
Yeah. No anal beads, though. So those were alternative book titles. Betterbooktitles.com is the website.
What's with the deep breath?
The show has been exhausting today.
Yeah, I know.
You got drunks calling in. You got rappers calling in.
You got
Chuck and anal beads. You got no Lenny. And you know what? Like, it's not the end of the world, because I'm stressed out as it is. My hair's falling
there,
out.
Let me
right
tell
now.
You something, Lenny. There is a huge void in this show in the shape of you.
There are
so
Lenny fans
you know
right
done.
Now sitting at home going, mother.
They're like, this is fucking bullshit over here.
I wanted to hear about Osama.
A bunch of construction workers standing around a hole not doing anything. They want to hear Lenny.
Yeah. What a dick. Well, let me tell you my plans for the weekend. You know what? Oh, fuck. I didn't plug my show at all. We have a big show Saturday at Cigars and Stripes. And I'm going to have to... I don't know how to type in numbers. Oh, Lee, tell one of your quick witty jokes real quick.
No, please don't make me go in my act.
Okay. All right, all right.
Oh, so what happened? All right, earlier.
No, we're good, actually. We're good. I'm really.
Not wanting to do it, you jumped in pretty quick.
I'm spent
well,
on your...
I started something earlier.
All right, we're pulling cigars and stripes.
All right. Stop! Oh, God. So great.
Sorry, AF, you're ready for this phone call. Burger King.
Don't blame the BK for it.
Cigars and Stripes.
Ronnie.
Master. Who is it?
Hold on.
Who is it?
Master Perry.
Hold on. I got to get where I can hear you. Hold on one second. Hold on. Okay. Here you go. Cigars and Stripes.
Ronnie, it's Matthew Aaron. What's up?
Mr. Aaron, what the fuck, man?
You're on the show.
Plug in the show tomorrow. You're on the show. You're live. You're on the Matthew Aaron show.
Lee Capreas.
Oh, when? Tomorrow? I'll come in tomorrow.
Lee Capreas is here. No, right now, Ronnie. I'm at your place tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, you better not be here tomorrow. You better be here Saturday.
Tomorrow is Saturday.
Well, tomorrow's Friday.
Oh, it better not be. I don't even know what day it is, man.
Tomorrow's Friday.
It's like, you know, like Monday, you know, you go to bed Monday, and then you get up Tuesday, and then before you know it, it's like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday you're right back again. It never stops. It never stops. It never ends. It never fucking ends.
Oh, man.
Unreal.
I think that's what people think before they kill themselves.
Lee, when's
that? Listen, I was going to kill myself Christmas Eve last year. I don't know why the fuck I didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't believe some of the assholes in here tonight. It's unbelievable.
You know why, Ronnie? It's because you got a good bar, you got a good establishment, people love you.
Yeah,
don't do it, man.
Tonight's got to be rough, Cinco de
Mayo. Listen to me. No, tonight's not. Listen, this woman, she comes in here and she says to my bartender, yes, can I have a Dos Equis? And my bartender says, I'm sorry, we don't have Dos Equis. So that's fine, give me a Corona. My bartender says, we don't have Corona. She's like, excuse me? Yeah, no Corona. All right, make it a Coors Light. I'm sorry, we don't serve it. She says, give me a Bud Light. I'm sorry, we don't serve it. We don't have it. We don't fucking have MGD64. We don't have it.
What do they serve?
Happy Cinco de Mayo. I mean, what the fuck? What do you think? I'm in a goddamn Mexican neighborhood here.
Oh, those Mexicans, they love their Dogfish 90-minute IPA.
Well, Ronnie, that's why you guys don't have a Starbucks, right? Isn't that your line?
By the way, listen.
Yes, that's exactly why we don't have a Starbucks.
Ron Lotz, who we're talking to now, is the proprietor of the fine Cigars and Stripes on Ogden Avenue in Berwyn, and he runs a comedy show. You should go. It's a great place. I just plugged you.
Plug my show, fuck.
Yeah.
Nah.
But just so people know who we're talking to.
Saturday, Ronnie, it is myself, Patrick Bagden, and Horacio Ramirez at Cigars and Stripes. We're going to have a crowd. Ronnie's got beers that he does have.
Well, listen, you know, we specialize in American craft, okay, and Belgian beers. I mean, why would you come here on Cinco de Mayo Day with a goddamn, you know what I mean? One guy's wearing a cowboy hat with his little Mexican broad. I'm like, listen. You know, and he's a white dude too, which was hilarious. I'm like, hey, listen, if that's what it took to poke that little chick, man, I wear that fucking hat too. I do the whole thing. I put on that big giant belt buckle and everything, man. I'd wave a flag out my window. Fuck it. Whatever.
Yeah.
So what's going on then? Are we going to have a good show, or you know, is anyone going to do anything original Saturday?
Well, I practiced some material yesterday over at your joint.
You were fucking hilarious. My brother almost pissed his pants, man. I don't know what you said about talking to your mom and having to run to go beat off afterwards to release pressure, but my brother was fucking dying laughing. What was that bit you did? What was it? What did you say? What was that about?
I was talking about any problems that things could always. I was saying how if the Taliban beat off more, they wouldn't be such angry people. If the Islam beat off more, they wouldn't be such angry people. And I said, what works for me is anytime there's a fight at home, I just run somewhere, beat off, and I'm cool.
So mad.
My brother thought that was the funniest thing. He was still giggling his balls off this morning. We're smoking chicken wings. He's like, you know, that heavyset guy out there on the diet in the back there drinking the scotch and water. You know, he's really funny, son of a bitch. I'm like, man, you got to hear his whole show. So he's excited. He's going to come here Saturday. I think he's going to have a good show. Patrick Bagden, man, listen, you know, that, you know, he's odd. You know, something wrong with that kid. You know what I mean? He's really, and I told people, I've been telling people all week, they got to come see this show, but, you know, if you're easily offended, hey, listen, this ain't Disneyland, man. Stay home. I'm not kidding with you.
Yeah. No, it's true, and Horatio's actually kind of the normal one, and I kind of feel bad for Horatio sometimes.
Yeah, he's actually funny, too. You know what? When I think about the lineup's actually really, it's an impressive lineup. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. You got free parking here. You know what I mean? Decent food, fair price beer. And I'll tell you what, you can't, where can you get a bang for your buck like that? For what are we charging, $7 or $8 or something?
Ronnie, way better than decent food. You have the best wings in the city area, period.
No,
period.
I know, really. I mean, they're really just flying off. I'm out. We're making smoked meatloaf right now. I'm trying to make it, but I have a feeling it's going to be sold out tomorrow. Meatloaf sandwich is wild here.
Meatloaf? Habanero one?
Yeah, the habanero and brandy, it's really good. Oh. I told the Mexicans, I said, listen, come back like tomorrow and we got the habanero meatloaf. You guys will love it. Happy Cinco de Mayo. You know what I want to tell you guys.
And they were like, eh?
And, no, she spoke English. I mean, cute little thing. She had me, but she was probably like 17 years old.
Isn't today Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah.
Oh, so Anthony's in Berwyn. They're all, oh, his place is packed. That was what
I no, I'm not busy for that. I mean, listen, I have, I think, white people in here. Looks like to me. I don't know. A couple Mexicans. I don't know, man. We got all kinds in here. Black, white, Mexican, it doesn't matter. Patrick Bagden's Irish guy. We let him in here.
I know, those Irish. Katie Rose.
So how long is your show? How long does this show go on, anyway?
The podcast?
We have minutes left.
We have 3 minutes remaining, and it's a two-hour show.
Oh, all right. Well, listen, I'm glad you guys called me. Fuck it. I'll take the plug. Listen, I'm excited. I'm just telling you, genuinely, I'm truly excited to have this this weekend. If I can just get my web updated and have my guy put the stuff. You know, my web guy is right now at the goddamn bar. He should be home updating my website. You're not even on there. You know what I mean? I'm like one person show. I'll put it in the newsletter tomorrow. Fuck it.
How's that? And say hi to Laddie for me.
No, I'll do that. I'll tell him. He'll giggle his balls off, believe me.
He's probably wearing his pussy boots on Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, you're thinking of Laddie, the Czech guy. I'm talking about my brother's name is Laddie, too. So we got, you know, we've got just, you know, Laddie's all over the place. I would name my fucking dog Laddie. You know what I'm saying? I don't get this whole whatever.
I love them all.
I don't get this whole not naming people Laddie thing.
I don't get it at all. I will see you guys hopefully Saturday, and thanks for calling. I appreciate taking this. I mean, you know, very nice.
All right, we're going to wrap up. Thank you, man.
Thank you, ladies. I'll see you.
It's Ronnie Lott of Cigars and Stripes.
He's a little crazy.
He used to be a professional wrestling manager.
He needs less sugar in his diet. He, I think, is a fitting he's a fitting doppelganger for Lenny.
Okay. Oh, and now Lenny's calling in. Hey, Lenny, thanks for calling in with 1:30.
I don't even want to hear it. I just got out of my final.
And you got anything to say? You got a minute 30.
He's in no mood.
I got a minute 30. Okay, let's talk about us walking out. I missed the last 30 minutes of Fast and Furious 5, basically because of the Osama news coming down. I was checking my phone, having a ball, you know. Then I kept checking for news updates. Didn't care what happened to Fast and Furious. For all I know, Vin Diesel could have went gay at the end and could have, you know, but I'm not going to give away any spoilers. But yeah, the Osama news, we went out, we caught the radio thing. My brain is mush. I don't even make sense when I'm talking to her right now.
Hey, I just did want to tell you, Chuck told us about his anal bead story tonight. You missed that. I wish you were around.
Oh, God.
But yeah, it was good. Weren't those the ugliest broads we ever hung out with, ever?
Oh, it was brutal.
And then Friday, tomorrow, we're going to Pat's boat, right?
Sounds like a plan to me.
That's a plan, right? Anything else you need to plug or do?
No, I'm going to go have a cocktail.
Where are you going?
Just Plymouth, right next to the school.
Oh, okay. You got to get a sandwich?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. I will see you.
All right, then. We'll talk to you guys in a bit. Sorry.
See you next.
All right.
Bye-bye. Okay, I got about 20 seconds here. Any plugs, Katie Rose?
No, thanks. I'm just happy to be back.
Lee.
I'll plug my official gig on the 20th next week.
And me, I have a gig, Mason. Cigars and Stripes, me, Horatio Ramirez, Patrick Bagden, 9:00, Berwyn, Ogden Avenue, Cigars and Stripes. Come on out. Peace. That was a crazy fucking show.
That was chaos. That was utter chaos.
That was like, I need a...